Thanks, Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise, for having us. It's always special to be up here with what I call our Mackay Christian family. And I've been coming, and Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise were actually the first people ever to invite me to preach somewhere from back in like 2000 and wherever, many years ago. It's great to be here with you this morning. And look at the place. It's a handsome group of people here. Hey, breed them good in North Queensland. I like that. I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on a subject or a title I've given it called You Are, But You Will. You Are, But You Will. As a kid growing up, I played a lot of junior cricket. The only challenge for me playing junior cricket, which I loved very much, was that I was really young when I wanted to play. I think I was about 7 years old for my first season of cricket. But back then, they didn't have all these different teams and levels. The youngest level was under 12s. And so at seven, playing in under 12s, it's a little awkward. Cricket pads come up to your chin, your gloves more like baseball mitts, and you know, the bat seemed to weigh as much as half of my body weight. And so for years, 5 years, I stayed in the same category or age group playing this cricket. And it was funny because in those early days, the coach would always say, I know you are small, but you will grow one day. I'm still waiting. And I think when we look at life as believers, especially as Christian, we've got to learn to live in a space. We've got to learn to live with a tension that we are, but we will. We are, but we will. The Bible passage I'd love us to read from this morning is Judges chapter 13. If you've got your Bibles, turn with us, that'd be great. Judges chapter 13. And we're going to read down there. It says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife. Doesn't say her name, so we can call her Francesca for all we wish. His wife Francesca, who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You'll become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. See, the angel comes to Manoah's wife and he says, you are, but you will. This is the current situation, but you will. And I think that's the very first part of what we unpack here in the story of Manoah's wife and her life and this miracle that God does, is that we all at some point in some way have a place that we are, you are. You know, in it, you are speaks of the natural. It speaks of the perhaps a current situation or a present natural setting, and it's just the way it is. And that's life, isn't it? Sometimes there are things, and they are just how they are. Doesn't matter how you try to spin it or change it, it is just what it is. Buying white goods, it is just what it is. It's the worst spend of money that you ever do. I remember getting married and to my beautiful wife, Tegan, and then we had to buy some white goods. It's like, this is terrible. Like, what? It's not improving my car. It's not camping or fishing gear. It's not, we're not going to wear this thing. It doesn't seem to do anything except just keep life going. But there is one exception, and that is when you buy a fridge that cranks out ice. I remember when we'd been married a few years and finally we were able to get a new fridge at some point, and we got a fridge that made ice. And I remember thinking, I've made it in life. This is literally the greatest thing on the planet. And, you know, or before that, I'd stack ice trays in and I'd crack them into a container. You know, I was like a ferret for ice, just trying to always make sure we had enough ice in the freezer. And then I've got this thing, just pull the cup in, just clink, 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 cold Coke, here we go. But you know, buying what, it just is what it is, spending money on dryers and dishwashers. There's no way to, and kids will be kids. It just is what it is. You want them to eat neat, but they just drop food everywhere. Cleaning up after our 2 and 3 year old, it's like it takes an hour to mop the floor after they've tried to eat their dinner. And you can want for them to eat neat. You can want them to use cutlery. That's a mission. Getting our kids to use a knife and fork. And it is what it is. And Manoah, she has this situation. She's barren and she can't have children. It wasn't a wish that she had. We're not given any reason. We're not told there's an explanation. There's no silver lining to it. It's just a fact. It's a natural reality. It's a circumstance. It's a situation. And I believe all of us, while we're on the journey of following Jesus, we are something, or we have something that it just is. And there's this desire, or maybe there's a need to see change, but when you look in the natural, it just is what it is. And since faith, the faith life and the journey of following Jesus, Paul the Apostle, he says it's the upward call, which means there is always a present element to our life that is not our future destination, but it just is. It's where we find ourselves. And you know, we get saved from sin and become a follower of Jesus, and we get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, but we're still us in many ways, aren't we? You know, we wake up new on the inside, but who knows, the outside still needs a little bit of work. We get radically saved and Jesus comes in, but our kids are still kids. Our grass still grows. Our marriage still needs work. Our work and our job and our business, well, they still keep going. Our life still has challenges and it has seasons to navigate. There is a process of stepping into the character and the calling of God. But at some point, it just is what it is. And we just are at a particular stage. When it's describing you are, it is simply the state in the natural. It may not be where we want to be. It may not be where we end up. It may not be where we stop at, but it is what it is at that point in time. Sometimes the you are is true for a range of reasons. Maybe we are something today because of decisions that we made. Maybe we are something because of our past. Maybe it was self-imposed. Maybe we are something today because of a situation that was outside of our control. And it came out of left field and there was nothing really to do with us, but now it is what it is. And however it is, it's just in the natural. You know, when we plow through the Bible and the heroes of faith and the people in the scriptures, they faced natural situations that were just what it was. Maybe today you look in the mirror every day and you see who you are and there's something that you're not okay with, or maybe you look at the picture and go, it's not who I want to be, it's not where I should. Maybe we're afraid or insecure when we look in the mirror. Maybe we're broken or in distress. Maybe when we look in the mirror, we see a failure that is very real and present in our life. Maybe when we look in the mirror, we see immaturity. Or perhaps we lack courage that we wish we had. Or maybe we're weak and we're struggling with sin and we look and we don't like it. Maybe there's a limitation on our life that we just can't seem to shake off, or an uncertainty. Maybe you look in the mirror and you're waiting for God to come through with a promise and with a breakthrough, but you're not seeing it yet. And all these things, they happen. And there is this challenge that comes to us when we look at these things of who we are day to day. There's a temptation. There's a temptation to accept who we are as our identity and to then view our future through who we are today. I want to put it to you this way. It goes from being I am, but I will, to being I am, therefore I will. I want to encourage you this morning not to use the word therefore in this scenario in your life. You see, the but in this context, it separates the I am from my future. I am, but I will. However, when we put a therefore in there, it actually links our future to our today. our current natural lack. Let me explain. Maybe there's fear in our lives and we're afraid. We're afraid to take a step of faith. And if we let that fear remain unchecked, our mind or our heart or our spirit, however you want to put it, it says something like this: I am afraid, therefore I am fearful. And now I'm not going to take that step of faith. Or now what we've got is a label or an excuse rather than the determination to fight the good fight of faith. Maybe it goes something like this: I have failed. I've got a failure in my experience, therefore I am a failure. Rather than, and then we're allowing that failure to then rule our future instead of saying, I have failed, but I will step into what God has. It's tempting to switch the but for a therefore. Maybe we're struggling with sin, struggling with something, and we say, I'm struggling, therefore I am defeated, instead of, I'm struggling, but I will overcome. And can you see how the therefore, when we bring that into this scenario, it changes things, but it doesn't have to be that way. When I read the Bible, men and women of faith, they had natural situations, they had challenges, they had everything we can imagine. However, they put a but in there. Abraham and Sarah, they were old in the Bible, way beyond childbearing years, but they will have a child. There was Joseph, who was in prison, who was a slave, who was in a foreign land, but he would become a powerful leader in the known world. There was Samson, who at the end of his life, man, talk about failure. He had been captured. He had failed God. He'd failed his people. He was in misery. He had his eyes put out, grinding the corn of the very enemy he should have been ruling. Man, there was failure. That's what his I am was. But he decided that he would kill more enemy in his death than he ever did with his whole life. King David, just a king, just a kid, sorry. Rejected as king, forgotten by his father, hunted by Saul, but he was to become a king and a man after God's own heart. You see, when we read this story of Manoah's wife, she is barren. That's her situation. That's who she is. But there's a statement of faith in there. You are barren, but you will. And that's what I want to say now is, but you might be looking at the mirror at what you are today, but I want to encourage you, but you will. Despite the natural circumstance that we're in that might surround us, we will see a miracle take place. We will get through. We will see God provide. We will. And Manoah's wife, she takes the step of faith and she steps into her destiny. And I don't know what your I am is today. Be impossible for me to know all the I ams here, but I want to say in faith, but you will. But you will. And this to me, this is the vision. This is the exciting part. This is the faith dynamic of the Christian life. This is where the miraculous comes in. We're not called to a natural life, but to a supernatural life. The Holy Spirit didn't pour himself out on this planet so we could just continue in the natural process of things. He brings the supernatural power of God into our lives. It's where the power of the miraculous is, because in the natural we might see one thing, but we are believing for something different in the Spirit. When I grew up on the Sunshine Coast for most of my early years, and I did a lot of surfing at that time. And I used to sit out there, and when you surf, I'm not sure how much surfing gets done here at Mackay. I'm guessing every now and then there's a cyclone that blows through and people go for a paddle. And so, for much of surfing, the truth is you're just sitting out the back. Just kind of perched on your board and you're just bobbing around thinking about the bakery and the meat pie that you're gonna eat, or the custard or the whatever, and so you're sitting out the back, and for much of it you're looking at a reasonably flat horizon. What are you doing out there? Well, you're waiting. You're waiting because you're looking and there's nothing happening right now, but at some point you're gonna see some lines come over the horizon. We call them the sets. You're waiting for the sets to come in. And those lines would get bigger and bigger and they'd start to jack up, and you all of a sudden, all the surfers go from sitting up to lying down there paddling. They're paddling, trying to get to the space where they know that thing is going to break, and they're moving. And I reckon that's what this is about. Sometimes in life, we're just sitting out the back. It just is what it is, but we're looking on the horizon for what God is doing. While you're sitting out the back, it feels like nothing has happened, and you feel like you're just bobbing around in the ocean, but down deep, there is a swell coming. There is a wave that is moving, and that's, you go from bobbing in the ocean to paddling to then catching the wave. That's what you're out there for. And I think this is the understanding of the things of God. We might feel like we wake up every morning and we look in the ocean and we're just bobbing around in this circumstance. But we got to understand that in the background, God is working. He will, so we will. It takes faith to believe in what we can't yet see. But that's literally what Christianity is. It's a faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 1 to 3 and then verse 6, it says this: "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see." It's what we don't see in the mirror that we're believing God for. That's where faith comes in. It's what we don't see in our life that we're believing God for. That's where faith comes in. It says, verse 2, "This is what the ancients were commended for." In other words, this is what the heroes of faith and the legends of the Bible, this is what they did that was, God honored them for it, is they believed for what they couldn't see. It says, "By faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible." I hope that's a word for some of you this morning. God is making something that you can't see yet. What will be seen one day isn't visible yet, but believe God in faith. It goes on, verse 6, and says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." You are, but you will. You know, if God only works with what we can do ourselves, then what's the point of faith? If when we look in the mirror or we awake to that situation and in the natural it's useless, and so we allow that to get into our heart, what good's faith? Faith is only good for seeing what's not yet there. And this is where I would love to go personally, one step further. This is probably a little bit of Karen in this. I want to encourage you to believe for big faith. I'd love to encourage, to stir in your heart big faith. Why believe God for something you can just do yourself with a bit of luck and good management? I just don't think that's a miracle. I think that's just luck and good management. Believe God for big prayers. Believe God. I don't know who said it, but there's a famous pray big prayers. If I could impart something this morning, it's pray big prayers. You are, but you will. And don't let your "I will" be a little thing. Believe God for big things in your life. Psalm 78, I hope we'll open up your heart to this a little bit. Psalm 78, I want to read from verse 40. And it says, "How often they provoked Him in the wilderness." This is speaking about the people of God. The people of Israel, and they've left Egypt and they're in the wilderness. Listen to the language here. "How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and they grieved Him in the desert." That's serious terminology. Whatever He's going to say next, it grieves God. I mean, you can do things that upset us or make us a bit cranky or whatever, but when you grieve someone, that's full on. Well, what's He say grieves Him? "Yes, again and again they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel." You know, I believe the scriptures teach us it grieves God when we limit Him. Listen, it goes on, verse 42, it says, "They did not remember His power, the day when He redeemed them from the enemy." And then the chapter goes on to recite miracle after miracle. And what's it doing? It's pointing to the bigness of God. And I believe that it grieves God. That's strong language when we limit Him and we forget His power. Don't believe God for just little things. Believe Him for big things. Step into the impossible. The Holy Spirit didn't come to just have a little party. He came to change the world. Turn it upside down. That's what we find the apostles and the disciples did in the New Testament church. It was big things. And even in this story, as we read it, the angel appears to Manoah's wife again, and she comes and gets her husband and brings him in on it. Husbands, when your wife says God's speaking, listen. It's my encouragement. Listen, I think they hear God before us sometimes. We're just busy, got our head in work and doing all that stuff. And so Manoah's wife says, hey, Manoah, come. You got to hear on this. And so Manoah gets in on the deal. And he's listening and he's having a chat with the angel. Then listen to Judges chapter 13. It says, then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, what's your name so that we may honor you when your word comes true? And I just love this response. The angel replied, why do you ask my name? It's beyond your understanding. In other words, who do you think you are? You think you got this situation under control, do you? No, he doesn't have that. You know, in other words, why are you trying to limit who I am and wrap your head and box me in with your understanding and your reasoning and your human limitations and your calculations and your evaluations? Why are you trying to box God in when he's so much bigger than any box we could ever dream up? Even in the story, God says, don't try and figure it all out. I got this. This is bigger than you understand. Why would we want to limit God? And that's a great question. I think for all of us, why are we praying little prayers? Let's pray big prayers. Why are we believing and straining for something that we can probably do in our own strength with a bit of luck and good management? No. Believe God for the impossible. Pray for beyond what we can see, beyond what we can understand. You know, let's not limit the God of the Bible. Let's not grieve him with little expectation. Let's have big faith, big expectation. I am, but I will. And God's I will for your life is so much bigger, perhaps, than what you think. In fact, while I was preparing this message, I felt impressed in my spirit that some of you have some friendships that you need to work on because they always drag you into the present, but you need some faith voices in your life that you can go to and say, I am, and they say, I know you are. I know you are, but you will. And draw the faith out of you. I don't know who that is this morning, but can I encourage you, if you've got these voices going on in your life, you might need to go, oh man, in a church this size, there's got to be some great faith-filled people that you can go and you can talk to them and they won't leave you there. They'll say, oh no, that might be the case right now, but you will. You are, but you will. However, we find in this passage that there's a proviso. There's a proviso right in the middle of it. God gives Manoah's wife, Francesca, well, I just added that myself. It's not really in there. A promise. He says, there's something that's important in this. You know, sometimes our boys, we've got three boys, 11, 7, and 4. Boston, Winston, and Houston. We got stuck in the tons. And it was a terrible idea because when you cross at one, they all sound the same. And you can work your way through all of them and the dog and not even get one, right? And so, you know, it was accident too. We didn't intend to do it. Boston was a great name. You know, I'm like, Boss, I like that for a nickname. That's a good, strong Queensland name, Boss. You're the boss. And then Winston, what's his middle name? John. Winston John Wallace. So it sounds like an army general to me. Like, I like that. That's strong. Winston John Wallace. You know, like, he's going to do something. And then we come to our last one. We're like, what are we going to call this little monkey? And we loved the name Huey, but we just... someone else would call him Hugo or whatever. So we came up with Houston and regretted it ever since. No, I'm kidding. We love our little third monkey. He's a wild boy. But sometimes they come and they say, oh, you know, can I go to my friend's place? Can I go for a ride? Can I go play in the bush? Can I play Xbox, whatever? And I go, sure. Have you done the rubbish? Sure. How's your room? And they want to do something. And the answer is yes. There's a but in there. There's a proviso. There's a little, get your jobs done, then you can go play. That, you know the rules, boys. And I think in here, we see the father heart of God coming out. He says, you are, but you will, but have you? And he puts a little proviso in there. And this is the loving father heart of God. There's a phrase, there's an instruction between I am and you will. Let's read it again. The angel of the Lord appeared. He said, you are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you. That's the phrase. That's the proviso. One of the keys between I am and but I will is now see to it that you. And I want to encourage you this morning. That is, what is my faith step or my action right now? Because there's always a faith step. There's always something we can do into stepping into what God has called us to do, be whatever. Why? Because faith is a verb. Faith is not about wishful thinking. It's not about unfounded hope. We read from the book of Hebrews, which describes, gives us a definition of faith. It has substance to things hoped for. There is evidence of things not yet seen. And I would put to you that the evidence of faith is that we take steps into, toward what God is asking us to do. And we see this in the story. Manoah's wife, she's barren, and yet she's instructed to act in faith, regardless of the fact that she's not seen anything yet. She's been told, you're going to have a baby. It takes a little while for that to show. But she's given instructions as of that day. She can't see it. She may not even feel it yet. But she will. However, today, she's given something to do. Maybe if you've been around church for a little while, you're familiar with the story of Charles Blondin. And Charles Blondin is a famous man. On June 30, 1859, a little while ago, he became the first man in history to walk the tightrope across Niagara Falls. Why anyone would want to do that, I don't know. But the tightrope was suspended 160 feet from one end and 270 feet above the ground on the other end of the raging waters of Niagara. The tightrope had no safety harness, no net. There was no OH&S back then. You know, it was hardcore. And so there are reports that around 100,000 people would gather to watch him walk this distance over this crazy Niagara Falls. And when he did the walk, it made him fabulously wealthy and famous because he would do things for the audiences. He would do 17 journeys over the time. He would walk across. He did it riding bicycles. He did it blindfolded. Apparently, he stopped in the center to do tricks like cooking omelets on a little stove he carried on his back. Again, I just don't know what made this guy tick, but he did it. And at one point, he did it with a wheelbarrow, and he wheels the wheelbarrow across, and everyone's cheering and yelling. And he says, "Hey, do you think I can do it with a person in here?" And they all go, "Yes." He goes, "I'd love a volunteer." Not so many people cheered at that point. They all said, "You can do it." But when it came to a step, no one was willing. I think it perfectly illustrates faith. What is it that we're believing God to do? Here's my question. Will you get in his wheelbarrow? What's the step of faith that God is asking us to do today? What are we doing towards it? What's the thing that he says, you are, but you will. Now see to it that you. And we have to be prepared to move towards God's call of faith. The book of James puts it this way, and it's a bit of a passage, but we can navigate our way through. Maybe if the keyboard player could come up, I'm about to finish up in a minute. It says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, be well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." Goes on to say, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds and I'll show you my faith,'" what? "By my deeds." You know what? There's always a step of faith in front of us. That's what makes it a step of faith, is when you can't see what you're stepping into. You don't know. There is this unsure. And then verse 26 of the same chapter, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Here's my encouragement for you this morning. What's your now see to it that you? What's that next step of faith that God is asking you to do? Is it planning for something and preparing for something? You know, people have these wishes, but they never take a step of preparation or plan towards it. Or what is it? Maybe I've heard lots of people say, oh, I feel called to ministry, you know, one day I want to preach. Hey, what are you investing into the Word of God? What are you investing into prayer and people skills and developing as a minister? Or, you know, what is it that we need to sow? We're believing for this incredible harvest. Well, are we sowing for it? Because what I find in the scripture is we reap what we sow. Is there a sowing step that needs to be taken? Is it starting to minister at a new level? We're believing for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. Well, maybe at work we need to step out and give the Holy Spirit a chance to move. Give Him something to move with, the room to step into something. Maybe it's saving some money, putting I really want to believe God to buy a house or do something. Well, are we putting money away for it? Or are we just hoping that one day this big sum will drop in our lap? No. What's the faith step today? For some of you boys, have a shower. It's your faith step. Make the phone call. I still remember being terrified to ring Tegan. Took me so long, so scared. She's a scary woman. No, she's the sweetest thing ever. I was just, make the phone call. You never know. Maybe that's your faith step. I don't know, I'm just putting it out there. Here's the thing. Honestly, believe, this is part of our regular prayer life. It should be. God, what's next? God, what are you asking me to do today, this week, this month? This year, well, what are you asking? Let's not just come and pour out our problems to God. Let's come and ask Him, God, I am, but I will. What can I do today to step towards what you've got for my life? What you've got for this thing? What, there is a faith step ahead of you today. And I want to encourage you as I finish up. Love to take just a moment, maybe to pray with people. I really felt as I prepared this that there are people and you're sitting here today and you look in the mirror and you are something. You're not happy with it. Maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's a past thing. Maybe it's a present thing. Maybe it's a struggle. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're just looking for the next challenge in the things of God. Hey, you might be that today, but I want to join my hands with you and say, you are, but you will. God's got something more. God doesn't look down and look at our past and our failures. He looks at our future. And some of you have been slotting therefore in your life, in the conversations of your own head. You've been putting therefore in there. We need to delete that today. And we need to put but I will in there. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to stir and release people into a new season because they're going to get rid of therefore, scrap it out and put a but I will and begin to believe God for big things.